This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
La ilaha illallah.
Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace and blessings be on each and every one of you. I'd like to welcome you, dear viewers, to another in our series, The Best of Tawheed. In this series, we're looking at the best evidences used by the scholars to establish the correct understanding of Tawheed from an Islamic perspective. So, after looking at issues regarding charms and omens, and we also looked at issues regarding fortune telling, we're now going on to another area related to fortune telling, connected to it. This area is astrology, and we touched on astrology in our previous presentation on fortune telling because it is a branch of fortune telling, but it has taken on a life of its own and is probably the most prominent form of fortune telling found globally. You can hardly find a newspaper which does not have a column for astrology. That it's become now a global standard. So it is important to at least have a look at some of the arguments that Muslim astrologists have used in order to justify and to defend the use of astrology as a whole. We've looked in general at the evidences with regards to fortune telling and why and how it was prohibited in Islam, Islamic law. But now for astrology in particular, where we have clear cases of Muslims who actually are engaged with astrology, defending it as being a part and parcel of what is acceptable Islamically, you know, it does need at least a little more deeper look at what their arguments are, so we can be clear on it. Now, one of the arguments that they use is that the translation of the chapter Al-Buruj, in which Allah swears by the constellations, وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. This term Buruj came to be used by astrologers to refer to the zodiacal signs. That became the common terminology. But as I mentioned before, you know, some areas where people have deviated, they have tried to put Islamic terminology on top of it, to cover it with Islamic words, Quranic or hadithic expressions, etc., to give it an air of authority, an air of acceptability. So the common term used in Arabic when astrology was absorbed by some elements within the Muslim world and was promoted, the term Buruj became the common term for the zodiacal signs. So in translation, you will find in Yusuf Ali's translation, which is the most popular English translation from back in the 30s till very recently, this term is actually translated as zodiacal signs in that English translation. So I remember giving a lecture in New York, you know, about Tawheed, in which I clarified that astrology had no place in Islam. And to my surprise, some people in the audience started to question me on it. You know, it turned out these people were themselves, you know, Muslim astrologists. So they were arguing in defense, and then they threw this out. You know, here it is. It's right there in the Quran. You know, Allah is swearing by the zodiacal signs, meaning that they're real. They are, because whenever Allah swears by anything in the Quran, you know, whatever it may be, watini wa zaytun, you know, by the fig and the olive, whenever Allah swears by any elements of His creation, He is giving that element special status. Whenever Allah swears by some parts of His creation, He swears in order to give them special emphasis. He elevates them amongst the various aspects of His creation. So if, in fact, Buruj meant the astrological signs, then it was clear sanction for astrology, which was what their argument was, that Allah is swearing in the Quran. The chapter is called the chapter of zodiacal signs. So how then can one come and say that this is shirk? That's so extreme. This is how it was being presented to me. But then I had to stop them and clarify to them that, in fact, al-buruj does not mean zodiacal signs. It came to mean that. This term came to be used in that reference. It's just like the term gay, for example. In the past, the term gay just meant happy. You know, if you say so-and-so was a gay person, he was a happy person. But then that word came to mean homosexual. So, you know, the original meaning of the word was not that at all. But now it has come to take on that meaning. But when we're going to look at its usage, especially usage in ancient times, when the word never had that meaning, then that is the original meaning is what we have to use to understand what is actually going on. So reality is that what the term buruj meant was the constellations, the star configurations, as they are when you see them in the sky. And they're changing. The way they were 1,400 years ago, the way they will be 1,000 years hence, constellation is expanding, stars are moving, their relationships will shift. So it's not in reference to the animal figures which the ancient Greeks and Romans put on those configurations. They say that this configuration meant Leo, the lion. And then they put a figure, an animal figure of a lion, where, you know, his tail is where one major star is, and his head is where another major star, and another major star is at one of his feet. But then in between, there are no other major stars to say, okay, it's not like, you know, one of those children's puzzles where they put dots, and then when you fill in the dots, you do the lines, and it makes an actual figure. You can see a figure afterwards. It's not like that at all. You know, it's just random stars. You could put 1,000 other images there and say, that's what those stars are actually conveying. So that argument is really a false argument. It doesn't hold water at all. Though for the English-speaking world, it's very powerful. You know, the chapter of the Quran called the chapter of the zodiacal signs. You know, that's just clear sanction. But again, this has to do with knowledge and ignorance. If you don't have knowledge, then you can fall into mistake, misunderstanding based on ignorance. Yusuf Ali, who translated the Quran, was not a Muslim scholar. He did this translation back in the 20s. Wasn't a Muslim scholar. He was good in Arabic, so he would use the dictionary. And the dictionary he used was, of course, the modern Arabic dictionaries that were available to him at the time. So it's not surprising that we find him mistranslating Al-Buruj here, as he has mistranslated many other elements of verses of the Quran. And in fact, the errors that came from his mistranslations and misinterpretations, where he included so much information in his footnotes and endnotes and notes between chapters, that the Rabita, the World Muslim League, eventually banned his translation. They agreed that it contained enough misinformation and, you know, to find a better and more accurate translation for them to better understand the Quran, the meanings of the Quran. So with that, dear viewers, we're going to take a break, and we will see you after the break, where we will continue to look at the arguments of the Muslim astrologers in defense of astrology. We will see you after the break. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back from the break. Prior to the break, we were looking at the arguments of Muslim astrologers, those who would defend the practice of astrology, a practice which was included among the forbidden idolatrous practices of fortune telling. The argument we looked at before was the mistranslation of Surah Al-Buruj, one of the smaller chapters towards the end of the Quran, where it was mistranslated as the zodiacal signs, when in fact it doesn't refer to that at all, but it refers to the star configurations, the constellations, etc. The other argument, which was more, you could say, academic and was older, was the use of verse 16 from the 16th chapter, Surah An-Nahl. And in that verse, the statement or the text of Allah's statement, وَعَلَامَاتٍ وَبِالنَّجْمِ هُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ, and the signs and with the stars they are rightly guided. So they said, this is the argument here, that they're rightly guided, as they said, in terms of the signs are there revealed through the astrological interpretations, and they are a source of guidance to the future. This is how they interpreted it. The signs, what are the signs? The star signs, these are the zodiacal images, which are based on a person's month of birth, right? And then combine that now along with the stars, that they're rightly guided to what? Rightly guided, as they argued, to knowing the course of their future. However, Ibn Abbas, the companion of the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, who the Prophet called Turjuman al-Quran, or the explainer of the meanings of the Quran, though he was quite young, Allah blessed him with an insight. He stuck with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam all the time. He gained a lot of knowledge from him. And so he had insight into the understanding of the Quran and taught it, you know, after the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, died. Though he was, as I said, quite young, and even the rest of the companions, they recognized his strength in terms of Quranic interpretation. So he, in explaining this verse, had said that the verse meant road signs, the alamat mentioned, the signs. We're not talking about the star signs, because Allah is talking about guidance in both day and night. In the daytime, The alamat represented the road signs, the landmarks, you know, which people may take to guide them during the daytime, you know, how mountains look, they may give it some kind of a name, whatever, you know, there would be various earth constructions. As we drive along the road, you can see, you know, when you're driving out in the wilderness, you can see various signs that you can take as markers, that if you come back that way, you know, you want to guide somebody, you say, okay, drive past this particular sign, you know, where there's a particular tree, particular small mountain or a big mountain, you know, a river, whatever, you know, these are the signs. They're the road signs, the signs on a path that people would take for knowing which way to go in the daytime. And at night, the stars provide a means by which those who are traveling in the night, where you can't now depend on the road signs because it's pitch black, the only thing that can guide you now are the stars. And that's what the travelers at night use the stars for. They line up with the North Star or whatever, and they keep that at a particular position where they're riding, and they know that they can travel in a particular direction. So, and that's how they would guide others. You know, you take the North Star as your marker, and you travel so many days, keeping it on your right-hand side, and then travel so many other days, keeping it on your left, or whatever. They would give directions by using the stars. So this is what the verse referred to, that they were guided by the signs during the daytime, and they were guided by the stars when they traveled at night, or when they were at sea, you know, at night on the land or on the sea. So it is then false argument. It is then a false argument to try to find support for astrology in Quranic texts. In fact, the further we go into the hadiths concerning this matter, we have clear hadiths from the Prophet, may God's peace and blessing be upon him, found in Sunan Abi Dawud, authentically collected, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever learns a branch of astrology, of the stellar sciences, has learned a branch of magic. Whoever learns a branch of astrology has learned a branch of magic. In another narration, Abu Mahjam quoted the Prophet ﷺ as saying, what I fear the most for my nation after my time is the injustice of their leaders, the belief in the stars, and the denial of divine destiny. Belief in the stars, that is astrology. Belief in using the stars to determine the future. So astrology is simply a form of fortune telling. It's just another form. And we know the ruling for fortune telling is that if one engages in it, even out of curiosity, his or her prayers are not accepted for 40 days and nights. And if they go on to actually believe in it, then as the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever approaches an oracle or fortune teller and believes in what he says, he has disbelieved in what was revealed to Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon him. And this was authentically narrated and collected in the Sunan of Abi Dawud. So there is no doubt that astrology, being a form of fortune telling, is prohibited so strongly that it causes one who engages in it to do acts of disbelief. Not to say they are disbelievers, but they are in fact committing acts of disbelief. And the degree to which they go into it is the degree to which they fall deeper and deeper into disbelief. So, as a Muslim, we should avoid everything that is connected to it. We know that the issues of the unseen, even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't know the future. And Allah had him say in Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th chapter, verse 188, وَلَوْ كُنْتُ أَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبَ لَاسْتَكْثَرْتُ مِنَ الْخَيْرِ وَمَا مَسَّنِيَ السُّوءُ إِنْ أَنَا إِلَّا نَذِيرٌ وَبَشِيرٌ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ. If I knew the unseen, I would surely have only sought the good. But I am only a warner and a bearer of glad tidings for the believers. If the Prophet ﷺ had known the unseen, then no evil would have touched him. He would have been free from any hurt. But we know in his life that evil did occur. Bad things did happen. He was wounded in battles, etc. So the future is something only known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, this is part of his characteristics. As Allah said in Surah Al-An'am, verse 59, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّا هُ. With him are the keys to the unseen, and none knows it except him alone. This is his area of knowledge. قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say, none in the heavens nor the earth knows the unseen except Allah. That is Surah Nahl, verse 65. So it is on the basis of these evidences and others that we understand that Allah alone knows the future with certainty. The weatherman may predict the future, or an engineer looking at a building will say this building is going to fall down in the next year. And sure, it falls down in the next year. What does that mean? He knew the future? No, he knew the faults and the consequence of such faults in a building. He knew that structurally the building would eventually crumble. So it's not about the future in that sense. But of course, even though he's talking about a possibility to come, he should really say, as a Muslim, if he were a Muslim predicting this, he should say, it will fall in a year, inshallah, Allah willing. As Allah said in Surah Al-Kahf, you know, don't say anything that you will do tomorrow without adding, if Allah wills. So with that, dear viewers, we conclude this episode of The Best of Tawheed, in which we have looked at the arguments used by those who seek to promote astrology as being Islamic, when in fact it is completely un-Islamic. Even though they have found verses from the Quran, names of chapters to try to cover their practice and give it legitimacy, in fact, it is illegitimate. Astrology is a form of shirk, and Muslims should be aware of it and stay as far away from it as possible. With that, dear viewers, I'd like to thank you again for being with us and hope to see you in our coming episodes, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Oh Lord.
Islamic Online University provides you with the golden opportunity to study the various branches of Islamic studies from the comforts of your home. Now, you get to study at your own time schedule and at a pace that suits you best. IOU is the brainchild of Dr. Bilal Phillips, who envisioned an institution that would offer undergraduate and postgraduate courses online and completely tuition-free.
Choose from the widest range of programs that you can ever imagine. Bachelor's in Islamic Studies, Intensive Arabic Program, Global Quran Memorization Program, Bridge to Masters in Islamic Studies, Bachelor's Certificate and Diploma in Psychology, Education, Islamic Finance, Business Administration, and Information Technology, and The Crown, Master's in Islamic Studies.
Our syllabus is based on the bachelor's degree program of Madina University, Om Durman Islamic University, Al-Azhar University, and other reputable Islamic institutions. Your journey to acquire Islamic knowledge is just a click away. Islamic Online University. Changing the nation through education. Register now and get started. Visit www.iou.edu.gm for more details.